switch up your TV and your telephone. Could be with friends or you might be alone. Sit back and gently let the beat your show fill your ears.
Now we have a little slight departure for the Pete Jones Show. We've got an author in. We have had a few authors in the past, and we've got the gorgeous Joe. See, you've got about five names.
I've got about a million names.
Shall I go with Joe?
call me Joe.
See, I know you're Joe Rees.
Yes.
Is here. We've got Joanna Rees, obviously. We've got Josie Lloyd, all of which she will answer to. And if there's a check in it, she'll take it and cash it.
Absolutely.
She'll run with the money before you've even blinked. So how's it going?
Yeah, great. Actually, I've literally just finished the last page of my edit of my sequel to my book, which came out this summer. So I've got a trilogy out.
Have you?
Yeah. Ooh, and the first one is called The Runaway Daughter, which is set in London in 1926. And basically, Pete, I've been channeling my inner flapper girl.
Right.
So it's a big excuse to just channel all that kind of jazz and all that fabulous 20s stuff. Anyway, so the sequel, which I've just finished, which is out next year, is set in Paris in 1928.
Beautiful.
So I've just finished that. And then the third one will be in New York.
So we're going Art Deco all through.
We're going Art Deco. And it's so much fun. And I had such a laugh researching them. I went to Paris, actually.
Did
one
you?
Does.
Well, if you're going to set a book in Paris, it seems silly not to.
Yeah, absolutely. So I went and met this amazing designer. In fact, it was a really interesting story because I wanted to find a designer that my character Vita could work for.
Yes.
And I looked and I thought, well, I don't want to do Coco Chanel because everybody knows Coco Chanel. So I was Googling, as you do, Google's writer's best friend, obviously. And I found an article from 1928 in Paris in Vogue about this woman called Jenny Sacerdote, who was a very important fashion designer. Anyway, there was a website, so I wrote.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. I'm an author from Brighton, don't you know? I'm really interested in using Jenny Sacerdote for my book. Is there any chance that you could tell me a bit more? Anyway, this amazing woman, Anne, has revamped this brand from the 1920s and told me all about Jenny Sacerdote. So my character Vita goes off to work to learn the trade.
From London to Paris.
Yeah, yeah. So
in 1928.
Yeah. So I've just been doing that. And then it's all go because I've got another big book out next year, the Josie Lloyd book. So that's very exciting.
Can you tell us what that is
well,
on?
Because that is
these
very
are
exciting.
A bit cheeky, aren't they, these books?
Yeah. Well, these...
Are,
well,
they, all, are they always?
No, well, there's been a whole load of them. But the one that I've written as a standalone Josie Lloyd book is called The Cancer Ladies Running Club.
Okay.
And it's very much inspired by my own experience of going through breast cancer 2 years ago.
Yes.
Which came as a bit of a shock. Ladies.
Funnily enough.
Going to have scans.
Yeah, seriously.
I got picked up by the very fabulous Park Breast Clinic. They sent me a letter saying, do you want an under 50s screening? And I went, all right then. And
wow.
There we had it. And they picked it up. Thank
well
God,
done
on time.
You.
Yeah. Anyway, so when I was going through treatment, one of the mums at the school gates went, well, you've got to keep fit. Because they're building gyms next to oncology wards in Australia. You know, it's really important to keep fit.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to the duvet. I don't want to go out. Anyway, the last thing I felt like, anyway, I landed up going down the seafront down here and started running with an Albion in the community kind of running group for women that had been through treatment. And so at first it was very scary because I was a bit like a very heavily pregnant woman with new mothers. Because they were giving me all the scare stories.
Yes, they had the info. You didn't want to know.
But I landed up becoming really good friends with them. And they said, and then we ran a few more times. And then the press were there. The Argus was there. And they said, oh, Joe, isn't it great that you're running the Brighton Marathon 10K?
Hello?
I was like, what? And they said, and Ross said, oh, didn't you realise this was the training group for the Brighton Marathon 10K?
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, so I landed up running the Brighton Marathon 10K on a very bright April day
when
I was running bald because I'd lost all my hair for chemo, through chemo. And what was so amazing was as I was running, loads of women tapped me on the shoulder and went, oh, I'm clear 2 years, I'm clear 3 years, I'm clear 5 years.
Wow.
And I just had this wonderful run. And then this woman ran with me and she said, I ran all the way through my treatment and keep going. I was on death's door, but, you know, I made a full recovery and life is better than ever. And she'd waited for me on the last turn of the race. And she said, oh, stop a minute, I just want to have a quick chat. And I said, oh, what is it? She said, well,
I'm running a race here.
Yeah, she said, when I was in London, she said, when I was feeling at my absolute worst, I was feeling dreadful. I was sitting in a cafe and this woman came up to me and gave me this little necklace and said, I want you to wear this little necklace. It's a butterfly of hope. I want you to know that your life is going to be brilliant the other side of cancer. And this woman then took off this necklace and gave it to me in this race and said, I've been wearing it for 3 years and now I've decided the time to pass it on.
How beautiful. This is yours.
And we had a big hug and a few tears and off she went. And I never even knew her name. And
seriously?
Yeah. And I was so inspired and I thought, right, I've got to write this book. I've got to write an uplifting book about cancer because so many, there's lots of talk about survival and all that.
Yeah.
But lots of people are thriving the other side of cancer. Yes. We're all so scared of it.
And it was a club you didn't really intend to join.
No, and no, exactly. So I've written this positive, very uplifting book about cancer, which is a bit of a, it's funny and a bit moving.
Will you stick around? I got some music to play.
Go.
Is that okay?
Go.
What a brilliant story. It's a music show. I love that. That's true. We've got the lovely Joe here, Joe Rees, who goes under an awful lot of names, mainly to hide, I think. I think there's a reason there somewhere. And brand new book out. Is it kind of a thriller? Is it a whodunny?
I'm a bit of a magpie.
Are you?
So I like a little bit of romance. I like a little bit of jeopardy. It's about a girl who is posh. She comes from a Lancashire cotton mill.
Okay.
Her dad's the owner of it, but she's got this horrible, abusive family and an awful brother, and she thinks she's committed this terrible crime. And you meet her, and she's run away on a train, and the train's going to London, and she gets to London, and she has to reinvent herself. And she gets swept up by this kind of lapsed debutante, this American Nancy, and they become dancers at the Zip Club, and they become flapper girls. But she reinvents herself as Vita Casey.
Oh.
And the good times commence and romance kind of blossoms, obviously.
Okay.
But with the very dashing Archie Fenwick, but she can't tell him who she really is because of the dark secret, Pete.
Oh, I mean, what are we going to do?
Anyway, but she's being chased and hounded down. So obviously her two worlds collide. But it's really fun. But she's a dancer and she's quite well endowed. Shall we say?
Yes.
So she invents a bra, basically.
Oh.
So, because this is 1926 is when bras were invented.
Yes.
And so she invents a bra.
And the fashion was...
Yeah, very fit. And she's a curvy girl. So anyway, so she invents this bra and she starts this top drawer underwear empire. Well, she wants to. And so it's the start of that.
So then, in 1928...
Oh, she's in Paris with Nancy.
Because of the fashion.
Yeah, so Nancy's in La Folie Bergère.
Yes.
She's a dancer. And Vita is a dresser, and she's sort of hiding in the shadows because she's keeping a low profile. But then she goes to work for Madame Sacerdote, and then she's sort of out. And then she marries her sugar daddy.
And this is the novel that you've
finished
the final edit. Mm. How do you walk away from a book?
Is it
easy in the end? Just run
away.
You know when it's done.
When you write a book, it's so difficult to kind of. It's very easy to start a book. It's very easy to puff life into it.
Right.
But actually, the very difficult bit is actually finishing it.
Okay.
So it feels a little bit like you've got a massive, massive, great big hot air balloon, and you're trying to rein it in into a backpack in time, in a wind. Sometimes.
Yes.
It's very, very difficult. So quite often, the end of a book is quite shonky, shall we say, because you've written it very quickly.
And it's that that
and
you
it's
need
that
to
that you need to. Well, you just need to finesse. And actually, what you need at the end of a book is cadence, because quite often, if you've had a kind of... My books are kind of quite breathless, race against time by the end of them.
Okay, pacey.
Yeah. So then at the end, you need to kind of gently set your reader down and send them on their way and making them feel good.
Who do you get very excited about when you find out they've got a new book out? Because we've all got those couple of writers, haven't we, now? Or do you not?
I like all sorts of things, but I find it quite difficult to write. I find it quite difficult to read contemporary fiction.
Interesting.
I find it difficult to write the same kind of fiction that I'm writing.
Ah.
Because you then kind of get people's tone. But I mean, I really like, what did I last read? Oh, I really liked David Nichols' book, Sweet Sorrow. That was really sweet. What am I reading at the moment? I've always got a whole pile on the go. So I've got Lisa Jewell's book out that she's a mate of mine. So I'm reading that one.
Is your bedroom a bit like that cartoon I saw where basically they're just the couple are in bed and there's just these unbelievable towers of books?
Towers of books. And the thing is, I've recently started, because I've got this Josie Lloyd book out, I've recently started on Instagram as Josie Lloyd.
Yeah.
So do join me if you want to. But I'm rubbish at Instagram, right?
what do you do on it?
I'm famous, you see, for taking the photographs of the backs of my children's heads. I'm just useless.
Okay.
And I've noticed on Instagram that there's loads of people who do beautiful book stacks or very gorgeous books, or they've got pristine bed covers with a lovely cat and like a book. That is not my house.
No.
At all.
Nor will it ever be.
No.
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 Let me play a track. We've still got the lovely Jo Rees here, who is just so prolific and talented and just funny and has done all these gorgeous things. Now, you may not be aware even, folks, that you've manhandled one of her books or many of them, because she, along with partner Emlyn Rees, is also writer of them. This is how I always first knew about you, was when you were writing some crazy books like We're Going on a Bar Hunt, The Very Hungover Caterpillar, The Teenager Who Came to Tea. Just very, very funny. Obviously, whilst you guys, I'm guessing, were having kids and just having to read these just over and over and over again and just thinking, oh, you know what? There's a big gap between reading this and parenthood. And
yes,
this is the stuff that we get up to and want to get up to as parents. And they are just so, so funny and lovely. And that's how I knew of you.
Oh, you see. Well, I'm really touched that they're still around. They haven't really dated. And actually, because the original books are so popular,
yeah,
a friend of mine yesterday said that she'd been to a baby shower and somebody from Oxford had bought We're Going on a Bar Hunt for the parents, and somebody else had gone, We're Going on a Bear Hunt. But you read these books millions and millions of times,
totally.
And actually it's something funny for the parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted to make them sweet because we wanted them to be kind of like a homage to the original books, obviously.
It's easy to go filthy.
But you know when you have one of those ideas that seems really so obvious, and you just think, why hasn't nobody done it?
Yeah.
You know, one of those head scratchy kind of ideas when you just go, well, this is obviously somebody must have done this, and then you go, oh no, somebody hasn't.
Do you know what my first thought always was how on earth did he get away with it? But obviously you have, and people were okay with it. And
yeah, well, we had a very, very brilliant illustrator called Lawyer. yes, and that. very, very, very lovely illustrator called Julian Johnson, who did the parodies of the original.
Got it.
Original style.
Yes.
For each of them. We sent Bar Hunt to Michael Rosen, who wrote it. But
he was cool.
But you know.
Yeah, I mean,
he wasn't. You know,
it must be a bit odd for them because they're like, what are you doing?
What is
this? I mean, you know.
Actually, We're Going on a Bar Hunt is an American folklore song.
Oh.
So it's not actually, he didn't actually write it fully. So it's a bit like 10 Green Bottles.
Right.
Who kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah,
so sue me. So sue me.
But then really, we've written all sorts of ones. So we've done those ones. We've done Twas the Fight Before Christmas,
nice,
which is my particular favourite,
lovely,
which is an original poem, which is all about how an Amazon delivery is still not. It's Christmas Eve and Mum is freaking out because the Amazon presents have still not arrived. And, you know, drunk in-law. So it's a real kind of like look at Christmas in the family. So that's always really fun. And our latest one that we did was Shabby. The Guide to Stress-Free British Living. So it was a bit
I'm glad you said that.
It was a bit of a nod to the hygge kind of movement. When everything came out and said we should have really beautiful, kind of lovely, clean, grey spaces with nice rugs and scented candles, and we looked at each other and went, that is not our house.
It ain't happening. It's happening somewhere, just not in your home. Listen, we're almost out of time. Tell us this book that we've been chatting about and the new one.
Okay, so The Runaway Daughter by Joanna Rees,
published
by Pan Mac, is out now.
Yes.
And the second one, which is called The Hidden Wife by Joanna Rees, will be out next summer.
And you mentioned that it's going to be a part of a trilogy.
Yeah, and the third one, which is The Sister Returns, is going to be set in New York.
No pressure. All up here?
Sort of.
So is that how it works? I don't know. I look at you and go, how does it work? How did all this stuff come out of that?
Do you know what's
so
quite
clever.
Fun? You know,
so clever.
I've never written a trilogy before. And actually, when I started writing, I was like, oh, oh, I could do this and that. And actually realise that you've subconsciously written some really good clues into your first book.
You see, like Gryffindor and all that stuff.
Opportunistic. Yeah. I am,
though. Love it. Listen, we're going to have to crack on. Will you come back when the third...
Cancel Lady Running Club.
Yeah, why don't you do it? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I'll come next June.
It's been so lovely having you here. So thank you for dropping in.
Thank you, Pete.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Love the show. Carry on.
It breaks a day. Did you hear that, folks? I'm touched and honoured.
Radio Reverb. The Pigeon Show.